How are we doing tonight? Hey, you guys are the brave and the few and the proud. I'm going to call you the Marines from now on. Something like that. Sorry if that offends anyone. I don't know why it would. But my name is Phil, and I get to come up here a few times a semester and teach. And I love it. I love getting to share with you guys a little bit about what God does in my heart. And I say this a lot. When I come up here and I prepare to teach, God just like rocks my life every time. I think that's why I love coming up here and preparing and sharing a little bit with you guys. It's because honestly, whatever I'm teaching to you guys, it is like 99.9% for myself. And I walk away like just crazy super convicted. And I grow like a billion times closer to the Lord. So I hope that you guys can get a sliver of like something that just knocks you a little bit off your feet like it does for me, because God's cool and he's present and he's real, and every time I get to dig a little bit more into his word for teaching, that becomes more and more clear to me. And so the past few weeks we've been going through the life of Moses, and you kind of joined us in this series called Ordinary, where we take a look at the life of Moses and really hammer in on this this almost funny like tendency of the Lord to use ordinary people in ordinary situations to change the world. And we've seen what he has done with that in the first week that Ben taught. We looked at the life of Moses and his calling on his life and saying, I'm going to use your descendants and your family to reach my people. And God did some incredible work in Abraham's life. And last week we went through started the beginning story of Moses and about how God's power is better than our own power, his timing's better than our own timing, and that we're not to run ahead and to try to make things work on our own time, but we must wait, learn to wait on him. And this week, I hope that this week is encouraging and refreshing and relatable and a little bit convicting to you guys, because we're going to be talking about how God continually is present and he is continually setting up divine moments all around us. And to me, that's encouraging. Next week, Ben is going to be teaching a little bit more about what might stand in our way of those things. Let me go ahead and pray and start us off tonight. God, I thank you for these students. I thank you for what you're doing in their life. God, I thank you for being present and real. God, and we all come into this room through these doors with different stuff. God, different life pressures that are weighing on our shoulders. Some people's backpacks are heavier than others with life stuff. And what I know about you is that you're a God of hope, and that you love us where we're at. And so, Lord, I pray that you meet us where we're at, right here, sitting in a warm auditorium while the earth is freezing outside. Meet us here in a genuine and deep way tonight. Lift all that up in your name. Amen. Tonight, we're going to be reading and starting off. I'm just going to read the whole text of what I'm going to be teaching on tonight, kind of get through it. So, if you have your Bible, so you can go ahead and turn to Exodus 3. And up to this point, we know that Moses had kind of figured out who he was. He ended up killing an Egyptian. He scattered. He left. Ended up in Midian. Saved some girls from the well. Ended up meeting his wife. And now here we pick up chapter 3. And this is like 40 years later from where we left off. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Okay, we start off. Dude is working for his father-in-law. Man. The priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement, though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. I'm God, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and led them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. Look, the cry of the people of Israel have reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people, Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? God answered to you, I will be with you. This is your sign that I am the one who has sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God at this very mountain. But Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors have sent me to you, they'll ask me, what's his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. I don't have a ton of time tonight, and I could go like a billion different directions in this, like tearing this apart. And so I have three things that I want to share with you tonight from my heart of what I see in here and how this relates, again, mostly to my life and I hope to your life. But things that will happen in according to how God interrupts us in our daily life. The first thing, if you're writing notes, is that God will interrupt us in our own routine. God has a tendency to interrupt us in our own routine. This dude, again, working for his father-in-law, no shame, got to pay the bills. But he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd. Now remember where Moses grew up. Remember what his past was. This dude was one of the sovereign princes of Egypt, most powerful kingdom in the world. Now, I don't know if you know much about shepherding, but this is not like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that I'm talking about. This is like, I don't even know a comparison to that. It's not proud work. And typically, they actually have kids do it. 12-year-old boys doing it. And so Moses has been doing this for a long time. And so here he is, what I can only assume to be his probably normal routine. Takes him out to the wilderness, takes him out to this mountain. Maybe to escape from life a little bit. And he's going, and he sees something on his walk. God will interrupt us in our own routine. How many of you, probably the type A personalities in this room, how many of you fill up your whole day from like morning to wake up until head down? How many of you guys fill up your whole day? How many of you like write that down? Like you can't live without your schedule. You know, either it's your Google Calendar or your planner or whatever. How many of you write that down, your full day down? Okay, how many of you who don't fill up your whole day, how many of you consider yourselves, let's say, good stewards of the off time that you have? Who thinks they do a good job with your off time? Okay, I have one person. You're a liar. Just kidding. I love you. You guys are a month into the semester, not even. And I bet you that you have your path planned out to your classes, right? You know how late you can leave the campus house to make it into your class at the COB in time so you don't have to sit in the middle aisle next to the stinky dude who probably didn't shower after the gym, right? That's real for one person in here. But what that speaks to me, and I know all you guys, that's true in some of your own situation, is that we are people of habit. You guys, we're like 3 weeks into the semester, and I know for some of you, if that your plan to get to class or your plan to get homework done or whatever it is, if your plan and your schedule got messed up even a little bit, you would be overcome with anxiety and stress. And how am I ever going to get things done? How I'm going to fail school? I'm going to drop out. My mom's going to yell at me. I'm going to live in my parents' basement forever, right? I know that's some of you in here. Because we are people of routine. And even people like me, I'm completely type B. I like, if I didn't have to live with Google Calendar because of work and my wife, like I would not schedule anything for a lifetime and just see what God throws at me. But even me, a dude who wants to live that way, knows I can't live that way, and I do have to live by a schedule. And that schedule is the easiest thing to overtake my life out of anything else that I have. You see, our routine, as good-natured as it is, has the tendency to blind us to what God is doing. I'm a big, big believer that God is continually setting up divine appointments all around us that we are missing. God is continually setting up divine appointments all around us, and we're missing it because of our routine. Because we walk to class with our headphones in, scrolling on Instagram, and we don't realize that there's somebody walking by us in tears because they had a hard day. It happens. Our routine is so set that when our roommate really wants to talk and is dropping some really, really subtle hints of hanging around and asking you questions about your day, and all you can think about is how much you need to do your homework so you don't get behind, we miss it. We miss maybe what could be an incredible moment that God has set up for us because our routines dictate our life. First three verses say, one day Moses was tending his flock for his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness to Sinai. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in the middle of a bush. Moses stared at the amazement. Though the bush was engulfed, the flames did not burn up. This is amazing, Moses says to himself. Why isn't the bush burning? I must go see it. I wonder if this bush was the first time that God tried to get Moses' attention to do something bigger than himself. I wonder if this is the first time, I know this is the first time that Moses realized this. I wonder how many other times God has set stuff up. We don't know completely all about it, but I wonder, why did Moses kill that Egyptian? Because he got fired up, because he saw an injustice. He saw how harshly the Israelite slaves were being treated. And he couldn't stand it anymore. He had to do something. And yeah, he did not handle that the right way. What if that injustice, what if whatever was firing up inside of him, what if that was God saying, hey, something's bad going on around you, do something about it. And Moses missed that completely and let his own rage overtake him. What if those girls at the well that Moses saved was another injustice that God threw it as, that God threw in front of Moses saying, hey, this world's broken. I want to use you to help take care of it. You see, I'm convinced that God sets up divine appointments all the time that we just don't necessarily get the privilege of knowing what he's doing at all times, and a lot of times it's our fault. My question for you is that, is the margin too small in your life that you don't know what God's doing around you? I'm the guilty of this in the room, I promise. A few months ago, I was doing a photo shoot with a couple, and the couple saw a pin on my bag of the Cambodian flag, and they asked me about that. Hey, what's this mean? And in the middle of me shooting the session, I was rushing because I had scheduled another session right after that. And so I was thinking in my head, okay, I have exactly an hour and a half to get through this, so I'm not late for my next clients. And they asked me about Cambodia and what that means to me and why that's on my bag. And I'm here I am shooting. Okay, I'm telling them, okay, actually, can you guys pose over here? And they're doing it, and I'm like kind of talking in between that, not giving. And then I spurred more conversations and more questions from them. Well, so why did you go? What do you do? What team did you lead? Or how did you go there? When did you go there? Why did you go there? All this stuff that in my head I was just thinking, time, time, time. You have to be on time. Have to be professional. Got to get stuff done. And then missed out. Looking back, it's a quick, simple text to my client that, hey, my first session ran a little late. I'll be there as soon as I can. How many of you jam-pack your days, fill your schedule up, or misuse the free time that you do have and are missing those questions that are being asked to you about what is God doing in your life? And guys, I'm the guilty of this in the room, and this is one of the things that I am just laying before the Lord this year and praying for God to just soften my heart for it, to make me a better dude, make me more present, make me more aware of what God's doing. I'm excited about that, and I'm challenging you, and I want you guys to join me on that journey. So if that's you in this room that is feeling a little guilty, a little convicted, like, yeah, I've closed myself off. Join me in just humility and repentance and saying and giving it to God and see what God does. I'm excited. God will interrupt us in our own routine. We have to just be aware that he's doing that. Second thing, if you're a note taker, that I took from this section of scripture is that excuses will always be our reaction. Now, I'm not going to talk a bunch on this because Ben's going to dive more like deeper into this next week, but excuses will always be our reaction to God interrupting us in our everyday life. Verses 11 and 13 say, Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people out of Israel? And in 13, Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they'll ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? So here we have the God of the universe, all-knowing, all-good, all-powerful, saying, Moses, this is where I'm sending you. And Moses has excuses, but what am I supposed to say? And he gives more excuses later on here too. But we see this over and over and over again in Scripture. Adam and Eve, when they were confronted about what happened, they say, well, it's not my fault. I was tempted. And God says, no, actually, it's your personal responsibility. Cain, when he's confronted about where his brother is that, I don't know, I'm not responsible for others. And God said, actually, yeah, you are. Gideon, his excuse, he says he's poor, he's insignificant, he's too young. God said, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to empower you. And then he goes on to say, Lord, I need more proof. Jeremiah says, who's going to listen to someone like me? God says, I appointed you to do all things, and I'll give you power for that. Jonah said, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? And God said, have you lost your compassion for the lost? There's going to be more on this next week, but I want to leave you with this, and I put this in here because I wanted to say this to you, is that excuses are often masked as good things. Excuses are often masked as good things. Yeah, God, I want to be a disciple. I'm all in. I'm there. I'm going to follow you, but I got to get my homework done tonight first. God, I'm serious about being in the Word. Like, that's really important to me. That's my New Year's resolution. But I have 30 minutes to work out in the morning, so I should probably do that. Yeah, I'd love to get lunch with you, but my life is so busy right now. Let's schedule it for next semester. Excuses are often masked as good things. And for good things. I, last week, subconsciously was making excuses when I had a friend ask me to go to lunch. And I could have sworn there was something that I had scheduled or that I was busy. And so I spent like an hour going through my phone, going through my text messages, my emails, my Facebook messages, because I was like, I know I scheduled something on Wednesday or at this time, or Tuesday at this time. Like, I know I can't do that. And so in my head, I'm thinking, well, I don't want to bail on someone, right? Like, that was what I was thinking. After an hour of searching, I was realizing I really just didn't want to do it, and I was trying to come up with an excuse, hoping that I would find something that I agreed to before. Excuses are often masked by good things. I wanted to save somebody's feelings from being hurt, so I hope that I scheduled the meeting during that time. And unfortunately, y'all, it will always be our reaction to something when something bigger is asked of us. If you are subconsciously doing it or not, that is our fallen nature. And there's reasons behind that, and I think Ben's going to talk more about that next week. Last thing that I got from this section of scripture, and again, y'all, I had way too much to talk about tonight, so I'm cutting myself short because we have bigger stuff to talk about. But last thing, if you're a note taker, is that God's call will always lead us to something bigger than ourselves. God's call will always lead us to something bigger than ourselves. It says in this piece of scripture, the Lord told him, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of the harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. Let me say that again. The Lord told them, I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of the harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. And when I read that, I can't help but think that that is the way that God sees our campus. One more time. I've certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt /ISU/Wesleyan/Heartland. You fill it in. I've certainly seen the oppression. I've heard their cries of distress because of the harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. I see a little bit of God's heartbreak in there for his people. And I can't help but think that's how he sees our campus as well. You see, you guys know it, but there's a lot of hurt, a lot of brokenness, a lot of pain that happens outside these doors on this campus. Alone, in dorm rooms, at 3 o'clock in the morning. God sees it, and he knows it. And I'm fully convinced that this group is the part of the answer to healing, to restoration, and to people knowing the goodness and the freedom that is found through the Lord. We are not the only answer. We are not even a big part of that answer, but we are a part of it. In fact, everyone that calls themselves a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ is a part of it. And one of my biggest passions in life is enabling and encouraging people to step into that calling. I have seen people blossom and flourish and explode in joy and peace when they step into that calling. And I wonder what it would look like if we took that calling seriously. We have some great things ahead of us this semester, and next year our staff has been on our knees, literally, in front of the Lord, just devoting ourselves in prayer for discernment and direction and clarity for what that looks like for us. And we have some really, really, really exciting stuff to share with you, and I wish I could share it tonight, but it's not the right place. But I'm going to make a plug for Winter Retreat, and the few weeks after that is where some of that is going to be shared with you. We're going to reveal what God's been doing in our hearts for a long time, and going to ask you guys to come alongside us for some pretty incredible stuff. So make sure you go to Winter Retreat. But another thing that I want to plug, and what I think is an incredible answer, an incredible fit to the puzzle of this cry for reaching campus, is called the Pay It Forward Tour. And on spring break, for, I don't know, the past 10 years, we have sent students on this trip, on this service trip, in hopes to step into something like this. God knows the cries of oppression from this campus, and he calls us to go out of these doors and to become an answer of hope and restoration to that. Spring break is an opportunity that you may never have again in your life, and an opportunity that might be completely different than anything you'll ever see on campus. This spring break, there are going to be a few buses leaving ISU on what's called the Paid Forward Tour. And what happens is students from all different backgrounds and thoughts and religions and everything get on a bus. This is not a Christian trip, which is a reason that I love it so much. But they get on a bus, and they go, and they stop at 5 cities, and they serve. They serve different areas of homelessness, to the elderly, to environmental restoration. And the whole time you are serving, you are getting to know people who look and think and act and believe differently than you do. And what happens when you serve side by side to someone, walls are broken down. Walls that our culture encourages to be built up. Walls of hurt and pain and expectations. What happens when you serve alongside someone? Those walls crumble down, and real, honest, vulnerable conversations happen. And I've been a part of those instances. I've heard stories of those instances. And I will just say that in the midst of real, genuine, raw, vulnerable conversations, God heals. God restores. God gives hope. And you guys get to be a part of that if you decide to do that. Our hope is that we get to send a group of students from Encounter on this trip. And we get to sit in those bus seats and we get to serve alongside people and we get to spend a week during our spring break being the answer that God's calling out for here. I can sit up here for hours sharing stories and testimonies from this trip. If you're interested in this, we're having a meeting next week. We'll put this online. You'll see it everywhere. Next week at the Campus House, Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Come, and we'll give you more information about what this might look like and hopefully challenge you to spend a spring break outside your comfort zone, but in God's will. If you're interested in that, next Wednesday, 6:30 at the Campus House. You see, there's something beautiful in God interrupting our everyday to lead us into something extraordinary. When he does that, when he interrupts our everyday, when he interrupts our routine, when we see it, when we acknowledge it, when we grab hold of it, I'm going to be honest, it hurts. For those of you who have trouble living outside of your schedule, it's going to hurt you. It's going to be scary. For those of you who don't like taking steps without knowing where the next foot is going to land, it's scary. And it's going to lead you outside your comfort zone. For those of you who enjoy coming to Monday nights and hearing a sermon and listening to a good worship, it's calling you for something more outside of this room. But there's something beautiful about that. When that happens, God does some pretty incredible things. And that can be a whole nother sermon of the fruit that comes from that. But tonight, I want to leave you with that. I want to leave you with the challenge and the thought of what could happen if we are present and aware of the divine appointments that God is setting up right around you. What could that mean about your relationship with your roommate? What could that mean about the relationship with your parents? About a relationship with your professor? What could that mean about a relationship with someone you haven't met yet, but that might be the best man in your wedding? God is always calling us to something bigger. And I wonder if tonight might be the start of that. So tonight is a normal encounter, right? We have a sermon and worship and all that stuff. And we're also going to give you the opportunity to sign up for our service teams. If you've been a part of Encounter for the past year, we did this last semester. It looked a little different. But the hope and my call and my challenge to you is that maybe tonight is a divine appointment, a divine opportunity, an interruption in your normal week of coming to Encounter into something bigger for this semester. I am positive that God is calling you to bigger and better things than outside of these doors on Monday nights at 9 p.m. I love this place, and I hope you guys get filled up in this place, and I hope you are convicted and challenged with good teaching and solid worship. But if you let that die right when you walk out those doors, man, that's not what God intended. God intended us to serve and to give outside of ourselves and to be challenged and to be stretched. That's what he intended for us. And so tonight, we're going to give you opportunities to sign up for those. I would love for you to pray about what might God be calling you to something bigger this semester. We have opportunities to serve here on campus. We have opportunities to serve in the community. And maybe that's over spring break or over a mission trip in May. But I wonder what that could look like for you. You should have received, when you walked in this door, a big piece of paper and some two little small pieces of paper, hopefully a pen. On the small pieces of paper, it just should just say your name, your email, and your phone number. You should have gotten one or two or three, hopefully a few of them. But on those, I want you to just write your contact information down. And what's going to happen here in a few minutes, the band's coming up, but they're going to start worship. And we have a lot of songs prepared. We have a good amount of songs prepared at the end portion here. Because what I want you to do, now don't lose focus for me yet. Well, you'll have plenty of time to write your names and everything. I want you to listen to me real quick. Because I want us to do this right. Because I do not want you to turn in your name and sign up for a team because you think it's the right thing to do. Or because it's the easy thing to do, or because even because you did it last year. I would love during this worship session for you to cry out to the Lord, genuinely asking God, where should I serve that's outside of myself? That's outside my comfort zone. Where will be pleasing for you? And we have plenty of time to do that. And so after you fill out your name and your contact information, there's boxes and posters all around this room. There's going to be one leader for each team representing each group. Hear that, leaders. I know Michelle might have told you something different. One leader for each group. And there should actually be a map on the other side of that sheet. So once you figure out, hey, I'm going to sign up for these one or two groups, find out where they're at. If the map says stage, this is the stage. Clear up any miscommunication. Find that. But we're going to have plenty of songs. And what I want you to do is I would love for you to cry out to the Lord in worship, asking the Lord, where do I serve? And the beautiful thing is you have your two pieces of paper, one piece of paper, whatever it is with your name on it, and where the Lord directs you, he's going to direct you, and I want you to go up to this box and to this poster, and I want you to drop your name in that. I want you to go back to your seat, and I want you to celebrate in worship. As you worshipfully go up and submit your semester to the Lord, again, outside of your comfort zone, outside of your own schedule, outside of your expectations, you might have started the semester having no idea you'd be spending your semester with kids of single moms. And God might completely change your life by doing that. You might have started this semester thinking, there is no way I'm standing at that door at Encounter saying hi to people, greeting them as they walk in. There's no way I'm doing that. You might sign up for that tonight, and God might change your life doing it. So tonight, you read over that list. You figure out where you're committing your life to this semester. You're filling out your information, and you're dropping that tonight in an act of worship, realizing that tonight might be one of these interruptions that God is doing in your life, in your regular routine. And you're going back to your seat, and you're worshiping in faith and in honor for a God that is good and gives us these opportunities when we might not deserve it. Let me pray. God, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for choosing us and allowing us to come alongside the work that you have planned for this, for your kingdom, for this campus. God, I fully understand that you are capable and powerful of changing this world without me. But Lord, the fact that you allow us to participate in that tells me that you're good and that you are full of grace and mercy. God, I lift up the lives of these students to you. These lives that may be so tightly holding on to their own expectations and their own thoughts of what this semester might look like. Lord, may we lay all of our expectations and our hopes and dreams at your feet, acknowledging your good, acknowledging your gracious, and trusting that your plans are better than ours. Thank you for interrupting us.